Yeah, because you got to double it.
We don't have a verse. Yeah. I mean,
right, yeah.
That's pretty long. You know, you double it.
Well, we could have something to go with. Shit, shit, I can't get a hit. I hate musky fishing, I am sick of it. Come on, open your mouth. Come on. Shit, shit, I can't get a hit. I hate musky fishing, I am sick of it. Come on, open your mouth. Come on. Titan dive and rise. They're throwing in all night and day. Can't get enough.
You're dialed into Sports Talk 420 AM with Todd and Dave, Chicago Bears Talk.
I can't, Dave.
These Bears got to get their act together.
Something's going on. We got to fix
it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore. I'm going to do it.
Dave, listen to me. Don't do it. Resist, okay? It's going to be okay.
I've tasted nothing but gun blowing in my mouth for the last 3 weeks of the NFL season.
Well, Justin Fields is the next Tom Brady.
He's the next Tom Brady.
Give him time.
The Bears are amazing.
They're great.
The best team ever to take the field.
The Bears, come on.
Come on, Steve. Give me a bite.
Muskie 360 Podcast. Jay Bird!
Hey, Steven, how's it going?
Live from Jay's house, the future home of a Netflix documentary on the murder of hookers in the North Woods. You can hear the screams from the basement.
Come on now. What are you talking about?
The biggest creeps are in the North Woods.
The Hodag. There's a Hodag in the backyard. I think we just saw him. Yeah, but anyway, it's good to see you.
Me and Jay are.
Yeah.
Steve's in town, we're on an old school Hodag hunt tonight.
We are going for Hodags.
And you know what? We got 9-volt batteries.
Night vision.
Yep. Tech nines.
Yep.
AR-16s.
I got an M4, you know.
AR-16.
Okay.
It's one better than 15.
All right. If you say so.
That Hodag needs it.
Whew. Double tap, baby.
It was just a hobo.
Yeah. They're tough to bring down.
You know?
Yeah.
There's plenty of places. If you think you found a Hodag and you shoot it, and it's just a homeless person, there's a lot of woods up here.
Speaking of music, that was some great songs in the beginning.
I couldn't believe it. Every time I come up here, I'm flipping through the radio. So, like,
yeah,
my satellite radio, you hit Walsall.
Yeah.
And Sirius XM. Doesn't work, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Everything else, internet radio doesn't work.
Yeah.
You're relegated to what's on the FM dial.
Okay.
And that's it. And you just got to turn your stereo on. So I recorded my stereo, and that's what we have.
Sure, sure. Well, how'd you get the Bears Talk radio, though, this far north? That was cool.
The fibs have it. You know.
Yeah.
It's 13% fibs up here.
Yeah, okay.
Right, so sure. The North Woods is infected.
There's a lot of Bears Talk going on.
They're coming up here.
Wow. A lot of musky talk, too, really.
They're a lot fibbing going it up, on, man. Yeah,
it's late September in the Northwoods. Leaves are changing, and Steve Paul's in town. This is going to be some fishing this week, man.
Well, you know, going to come up here and kick them in the face.
Okay.
That's what I do. Did it at home last week.
You saw
that fish. Boys, I'll tell you what.
That one on the Kraken?
Yeah.
Yeah. Super, super donkey.
Yeah, there's not much left on the bump board for that one.
That's a beautiful fish. Beautiful hog. Man, that bait's going to
be. Put that in your.
Yeah. Right there.
Right there.
America.
Right. You know what? Sometimes if you're trying to choke on that one, it's going to be a deep choke. That is a donkey conga.
Mm-hmm.
And with a really good client of mine, we got. It was a really neat bite window. About 15 minutes, got a 47 that we thought was a male. Right.
Okay.
Super skinny, just beat up, just had that look where it was a long fish, but it's a skinny fish.
Mm-hmm.
The head, like the bottom jaw, everything was like that cylinder body. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He was happy. He wasn't thinned out like a sick fish, but it was like a big male.
Mm-hmm.
Went around the same structural element, and it was Donkey Kong on.
How long after the first fish was it? 15 minutes or something, you said?
10, 15.
Okay.
We'll look at the video because we're kind of like, a 47 is a great day. Nobody's mad about that, right? And we float rolled that one because the guy was like, I'm not big on measuring, but we float rolled it. He wanted to know, and I had the float roll out, and then I got that fish. And what happened? Came on the crack and went into the eight, and I went, I can't turn this fish, go around the trolling motor just to make a turning radius. Mm-hmm. Boom. And it's beak hooked and walked it all the way around the boat to the back corner.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Sometimes what happens, Jay, mm-hmm. if you just heard that, what was that, folks? That was a Pepsi hitting my ankles here because I'm broadcasting live. Jay, paper towel me, Jay. Paper towel me.
There you go. It's only a laptop. Don't worry about
it. I've got a sponge. It's we're sponging it up here with the Jay sponge that is.
Did you look back and check if that was on a major? Was it on like a moon event or anything like that? I didn't ask you.
That was that little window was on the end of a fall miner.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jay's sopping it up out of his carpet here. Because Mackie Massey.
All better.
All better, folks.
I'll keep this handy, though. It might happen again.
It will.
Yeah.
So that bite window was so truncated and game on like Donkey Kong. And I've seen it across the board where bite windows this fall have been tight, and they have been either at the beginning of things or end of things. Josh Krieger, I talked to him yesterday. He said his bites have been outside of what we would see solar lunar windows.
Okay.
And you sort of go, okay, we got a habitat range. It's like the entirety of it's on this or entirety of that. However, I think geographically where you're at, north, south, east, west, you got to be paying attention and be dialed in. But I think that bodes to the overarching statement of, you know what? Be paying attention the entire time and be game on the entire time, because we've been doing this for 3 years, 4 years, where we can't go, okay, guys, it's dialed in on X, Y, and Z. And is that climate? Is it seasonality? Is it there's the El Ninas, the El Niners, the two for the number three that comes with the chili relleno? You don't know, right? You don't know what's going on, but you need to be paying attention. You need to be dialed in on what's happening that very second, because a lot of times in that scenario, you would catch that fish and you kind of get lackadaisical, right?
Yeah.
And back things off and, all right, let's eat a sandwich now. But no, it's time to fish. So if you get a contact, if you see a fish, you have a good follow,
focus down, double down, right? That would.
I think the windows are only going to get smaller. I mean, you know, historically, as you get later into fall, they get tighter and tougher, and it's like sometimes you know you get 20 minutes on a day.
Tiny
wind. By the time you get post turnover around here,
hold me closer, tiny winder.
Tiny, ooh, yeah.
Hold me closer, tiny winder. Tony Danza.
Yeah.
Me and Jay were dancing in the backyard. Jay was throwing acorns.
No.
And I was singing Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza.
I got an acorn problem in the yard this year.
Yeah, and I, you know what?
Bumper drop.
Sometimes I pee around the corner of your house and sing Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza, mm-hmm. and you throw acorns.
Yeah.
And that's what normal adults do.
Well.
If you're not doing that, get your life in order.
If you're not on a hodag.
If you're
know,
not on a hodag.
You're just waiting patiently for one to appear.
Basically, at this point. Me and Jay figured out his neighbor Wally is a hodag,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to hunt him down and kill him tonight.
No, I don't think so. No.
That's not what you said earlier.
He's safe and sound inside. Not going to bother him. There's plenty of other hodags out there. We'll go down by Tom's farm. Come on now. Jay's hello, Minocqua.
Jay's Tom. Got a telephoto lens. He's been hunting this hodag for 30 years.
It's a beast.
It's a beast.
That's a local thing, folks. It's a Rhinelander mascot. You know, it's a fictitious, crazy, wild animal that doesn't exist.
It's basically...
It sure is popular around here.
It's an effigy of Freddie Palermo.
They have a hodag tournament. That's this weekend. It ended up today. Man. A lot of people in on Friday for that. It was cool.
I heard a guy today. I was on the phone. Person called me. Said,
yeah.
Hey, there's a 49 caught on Stimpke's lake.
Oh, boy.
Which is 6 inches short of the god himself, Dick Stimpke.
Yeah, back to back. Not so, one, but two 55 inches on a Stimpke tail, by
folks,
the way.
Folks, here on Jay's shelf in his living room.
Yep, you can see it from here, can't you?
There's a walleye whitetail tube. Yep. There is a Tom LeBeau. There's a couple other tubes. What else do you have there? We got some Titans. We've got Jay's memorial shelf.
Got some slammers.
And you have the...
Mostly tubes.
Yeah, the O-bit.
Yeah, the O-bit.
For Dick Stimpke. Yep. Also on my desk back at home in Tennessee is a cutout from the Lakeland Times of the Dick Stimpke O-bit.
Yeah.
And we talked this year about having an after party for the bash, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... Attorneys get involved, people get involved. You go, what's liable, who's not liable, whatever. This year, I'm ready to announce Hell on Hemlock
mm-hmm.
after the Muskie Shot Bash.
Mm-hmm.
Hemlock Street, St. Germain, all hell is breaking loose. Second house down, Neighbor Steve Fest 2024.
Yep.
So Neighbor Steve is going to pay for two kegs. I'll pay for them, Steve, but... It sounds better when you do it.
Yeah, on the stage and everything.
Right, so we'll have a stage in the garage.
Yeah. It's a big garage.
Right. And basically, all I need, here's a mission. A mission is free with a tiny bottle of gin for Neighbor Steve. Or a bait, right? So Neighbor Steve loves gin. So if you bring, basically, like if you and four friends, like if you bring a party of four, that's a small bottle of Tanqueray. You come by yourself, an airplane bottle of Tanqueray. Just bring gin, and you pay tribute to the god himself, Neighbor Steve. Right? It's Neighbor Steve Fels, quote-unquote, hell on Hemlock, right?
Yep.
Steve Paul and the Bottom Raiders will be there.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
Yeah, he'll be there for sure.
Just Meat Raffle is going to make an appearance.
Yep.
And... Freddie Fresh Palermo.
Yep. He's be cooking pizzas.
He's going to be cooking pizzas. A little bit of rapping.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a DJ.
Yep. We got Tom coming.
So basically what will happen is Hell on Hemlock 2024, Neighbor Steve Fest, right?
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is a bottle of gin and you're in.
Yeah.
That's it. Bottle of gin, you're in.
Yep. It's going to be great, and it's going to be next July. It's just the day after the bash.
It's just a great family-friendly event.
Family-friendly event.
Listen. Yep.
There's no time limit either,
there's no
way.
Time limit. Listen. So just BYOG, Bring your own gin. Mm-hmm. Hell on Hemlock. Okay. Neighbor Steve Fest.
I'm just hearing about this for the first time, so that's right. Great.
So I had
so
a,
is Steve, actually.
Yeah. Neighbor Steve.
Steve's listening right neighbor now. Neighbor Steve. Huh, no kidding.
We split a 30-pack, and he said it's okay. So
okay.
You just prepare yourself.
All right.
There's going to be horrible things happening. Hell on Hemlock 2024. Neighbor Steve Fest.
Wow.
Basically, you're just going to come in and kiss the Pope's ring, right? Mm-hmm. He'll be sitting there listening to Boston 8 tracks in his garage, bringing some gin, and you're in.
Or AC/DC.
Or whatever it takes, man.
Yeah, me and neighbor Steve both went to the same AC/DC concert, and my first concert, I told that story before, way back in the day, and saw Bon Scott, man. We both were there.
You got to pay
from each other. It's incredible. He's older than me, but still.
You got to pay tribute if you're coming to Neighbor Steve Fest.
Yeah, he's a legend.
He's a legend. It's going to be amazing. It has nothing to do with Muskie 360.
And no, but Muskie, there's some stickers in the
well,
garage.
Well, Muskie 360 takes no legal liability for what happens at Hell at Hemlock.
There's zero association legally with it.
The Muskie shop has nothing to do with this.
Nope.
When Jay clocks out, we're out.
Bingo.
Neighbor Steve Fest.
Yeah.
Bring your gun. Do not. No guns allowed.
No.
Unless you want to let us shoot them, too.
We got room in the backyard. There's anyway. Other people doing that tonight when we were out there.
I got North that Woods. That's the thing. Is like I'm from Tennessee, so it doesn't faze me. Like I hear a gun in the backyard or a chainsaw. I go, whatever. State bird. No guns at Neighbor Steve Fest.
No.
We're going to listen to Grateful Dead, and we're going to eat paper, and we're going to drink Pepsis. And that's it.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
You know.
Mark it down. We don't know the date, but mark that down.
Right. Here in a second is Q&A. All right, Jay. Neighbor Steve Fest, we'll work on the details, but we got a little bit of musky bait news.
We do.
Rapala X... The P2 and the Otis. Yeah. Now, Jay brought these up to me. He said, have you seen these? I've been fishing them for years.
Yeah.
I've been getting them from Botswana.
Yeah, it's some
Croatia.
Big European release only, and they're finally going to import them. So we got our hands on them coming in a couple months, I guess.
So it is a hybrid half hard, half soft swim bait and paddle tail. They are bad to the bone.
Very cool.
They've been tested on big pike.
Yeah.
I want to say that's a 7-inch swim bait.
I think 8.
Schwim.
It's a decent size.
Schwim.
Reasonable price. And it comes with a spare tail. Good colors. And it's a proven European big pike catcher, like you said. Grabber. So this thing's going to cross over nicely.
I've smacked muskies on them.
Very cool.
Already. So they're very cool. It's one of those baits. Obviously, the Kraken's coming out. We're going to hit some Q&A because I'm going to fall asleep because it's 8:56 and me and Jay have been after it, if you know what I mean. So, Jay, you've been getting after it?
Absolutely, Steve.
Absolutely. Lawrence brings up in the last episode that we might want to consider the damage of introducing an invasive species such as a goldfish or something in a waterway. So I talked about alternative live baits. I hope. I don't remember much. I don't know much.
I don't remember. I don't recall.
But I don't know if I covered it. I thought I did. But if you're going to fish live bait, don't do anything I say. Follow your local regs, right?
You said that.
Right.
Yeah,
I hope I did. So
that for sure.
Okay. So when it comes to live bait, look at local regs. Don't listen to me. Whatever. I mean, just.
Yeah, it's just expanding the typical presentation thing. I've got friends that have experimented with different fish that legally in whatever waterways around here in late fall with live bait and even dead bait. And none of them work as good as suckers to, you know what I mean?
Right. It depends on where
you're
at.
It boils down to, different lakes have a different preference. You know, there's certain lakes around here that might not prefer a live sucker.
Anyway, Jay,
Yeah.
We just had a technical error. It's time for a Pepsi. Let me hear yours.
Click.
Click.
Boom.
Pow.
Click, click, boom.
Click, click, boom, folks. I will say this. Me dumb. So
goes without saying, Steve.
If you want to put up, if you're working on my headstone, you want to take me down. Me dumb.
Okay.
So we're gonna get in some Q&A.
Excellent.
Right.
What do we
However,
got? We got a lot this week, probably, huh?
I proved I'm the dumbest guy in muskie fishing this week. However,
really? How? Why?
I did.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm retarded, which is not a bad word. But I put out an hour and 40-minute video of me being the dumbest guy in muskie fishing.
Oh.
Right?
Complete guide to muskie fishing video.
Talk about it, Jay. Me dumb.
That's a good video, though.
Well, what's going on there?
A lot of good information. Are you kidding me? That, you know, we like to call it kind of a step beyond the book.
Right.
In a video
visual representation, yeah.
You know, granted, you can't cram all the book's information on one video, even at an hour and 40 minutes, but tried to, you know, we really put the time into kind of laying down the groundwork for this. Okay, what needs to be in it? Well, okay, seasonality.
Yeah.
And probably should start with that and then get into specific presentations, tactics, tweaks, you know, on blades and bucktails, on topwaters, on big rubber.
Which is cool, because I didn't do that in the book. We didn't talk gliders or topwater blades in the book. So if you got the book, watch the video. If you don't have the book, and you watch the video, it's part and parcel. So
yeah,
it sort of adds to it. We're going to need some more long-form stuff, because it's kind of crazy the feedback we've gotten on that. It's so weird, like it's so hard for us to gauge. Like, everyone has really short attention spans, and then there's people that want to learn.
There's a lot of people that want
to
learn,
and you go, who do you cater to?
Yeah, I mean, if people at different levels are going to get something out of this. I mean I'm always learning, I'm always picking up stuff, I try to pick up stuff, and you know, I don't think you're speaking over or underneath anybody in
no.
that. You're just laying out information, basic stuff, and you know, you can see for it what it is. It's just like, okay, you know, this is a different type of retrieve, and I never thought of that, or whatever, you know.
Right.
I mean, big rubber, there seems to be a lot of misconceptions on the right way and the wrong way, you know, to retrieve these big, super ugly, heavy baits. And it's like, yeah, there's different ways to do it, and you know, talking about a direction to take that might dial you in at, you know, a specific type of target, whether it's deep weed lines or overstructure. So, you know, the trolling section, too. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and if you're hearing a digital interference, it's just, we have no clue why. I heard it. So,
okay.
Check out the video. It's on the Muskie Shop YouTube there. We're going to hit a couple Q&A. We're going to phone it in this week, because we're live from Jay's house, so there's nothing you can do about it. And we got frozen pizzas, gyros, and Pepsis to drink, folks.
Yep.
It's Billie Eilish night, and we're doing the podcast, and
okay,
we're cutting into that, really. So if you have Billie Eilish fan memorabilia, mail it to Jay at the Muskie Shop.
Or if you're a Swiftie.
All right, Gump says, I've been dealing with lazy follows and some thick milfoil slop.
Mm-hmm.
Giant jackpots, ace baits, and top riders are the only baits I've had any luck getting in and out without fouling. Downsizing these presentations doesn't seem to generate much interest. Are there any options to remain somewhat weedless but slow things down? Okay, so he's got a jackpot, topwater, the classic slop slowdown, right? We call it the sloppy slowdown. It's 4 a.m. You're at Saner Pub. They're kicking you out, and you're slowing down. Sloppy slowdown. You'll take anything, Jay. Whatever you can drag out of the slop, you're smiling. Anything you can drag out of the slop at 4 a.m. at the Saner Pub, you're happy to take home as a trophy.
Huh. I did not know that. Back to his question.
Right.
You know what? One might consider that new redesigned Booker Slopmaster spoon over that stuff. Heavy milfoil. That stuff is nasty, and it grabs everything.
Right.
Remember that milfoil chunk you brought in? I took that picture of an 11-footer.
Well, I mean, junk. Or the meat grinder.
Yeah, you want to go over that stuff. You need something as weedless as possible, or, you know.
But he's getting follows out of it, and it's like, oh. If you're throwing that stuff, you're getting follows, you're not getting hookups. Man, it can be tough because, like, with jackpots, you can work a jackpot pretty freaking slow.
Yeah, you can make it walk in its place if you want to, for more or less.
So you've got to kind of consider, like, the feedback you're getting and what we need to do. Work on baits that are more weedless. Something that's not used much in musky fishing anymore is a buzz bait, right?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty weedless presentation. Again, slot masters, meat grinders. Say you're getting action on a top raider, but they're not eating it, but you can't speed it up enough. You can take the belly hook off of a top raider. I promise you'll still catch fish. Right? And something that's not done very often, and I'm talking, I think we talked about it a year or two ago. We're talking sloppy slop slopperson slop slop.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is taking the back treble hook, melting the heat shrink off, putting the heat shrink and standing it up vertically, or one big single hook. Right? If that's what it takes, if we're dialed in on like a sloppy slop bite, because Jay, we made fun of him, or the pig is the big, right?
The pig. Remember the pig.
Remember the pig. Yep. If you're beyond 50 or 45, you remember the pig.
Yeah, you want to see one? Got one in the box right
Jay's,
over here.
Jay's working on digging his pig out.
You go ahead. Keep talking, Steve.
He's a pig digger.
Yep.
But the pig sucked. It was a horrible bait.
No, it was actually pretty good.
And they made the sloppy pig, which was this little...
That's right!
That's what I'm talking about. It was a
I forgot about that.
It was a teardrop bait with a silicone skirt on the back with a single hook. Right, so the pig side-to-side jerk bait, or the crank bait, was not that bad. But the pig slop bait was horrifically shitty. What's that?
Look at this beauty. You ever seen one of those?
Yeah, what is that?
That's a BS Willie.
BS Willie.
Unbelievably great quality.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can't find my pigs. I got a bunch of stuff laying around here. So.
Right. Nonetheless.
We'll get back to that one. I
was referencing the sloppy pig.
Yeah.
Which no one needs. And I have two of them at the house. But it had a big single aught, like 9-aught.
Yeah.
So you could theoretically take a topwater Booker or Lake X or whatever you want to do and put a big single hook on the back. I mean, if you are dialed in on slop, 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 slop. Something I would say when I find muskies or in that shit that works for me during the middle of the day are swim jigs. Like, I'm talking bass-sized swim jigs with paddle tails.
Okay.
And a lot of the conventional knowledge would be you don't want to do that in the fall. Well, it worked in the spring where they're that shallow. So a stand-up swim jig with, say, a big sassy shad or something of that nature, that could be pretty decent. But you're kind of going for a weedless presentation. Take your topwaters and make them single hook. I would rather get a strike and miss him than not get a strike because it failed. That would be my take. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah. All good options, but when it boils down to it, it's like, you know, you're fishing above this mat. So it still is going to come down to edges. So working the edges of that stuff, if there are any, would be the best bet.
Oh. Hi, Steve, Tony, and AJ in Crystal Lake, Illinois. We always love what you guys are doing at the podcast. You guys helped so much with our game over the past few years. Looking forward to the book and the Kraken. We anxiously await each week in the hilarity that might ensue. You and Jay are great. Well, I'm great, Jay sucks.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Moving forward.
Thank you, though. For the question.
I'm paraphrasing. Bear with me.
Sure.
So he wants to understand the difference between, say, Lake of the Woods or Wobbegoon. Right? And without going into horrific detail, call Merkel's. Right? So there's oftentimes I don't want to read a question because I don't want to talk about other lodges. I don't want to talk about other places. Love what you guys wrote. Call Terry. Call Merritt Merkel's. Tell him Steve at Muskie360 sent you. You guys are going to have a way better time than what you've been doing. I promise you that. Sean from Jersey. I remember a mod talked about the glide rater to make it run deeper by upsizing hooks. I think it was to have it with 7-aught trebles, but can't remember. What do you guys know on that? So the glide rate is a tricky bait. Jay, you've tried to run some in the past, and it's like you take one out of the box and it runs well. You take another one out and it's like, eh. You can glide rate is such a big glide bait, and it's a plastic bait. There's an air thing. So things I know about glide raters. When you get a good one, it is magic. It is amazing. When you get one that's not perfect, it's a tough world. Okay? First thing I do with a glide rater, take the stock hooks off, and I put Mustad triple grip hooks on them, 7-aughts. They're super heavy, right? When you hook a muskie, the hook holds that of a 22 Rimfire. I mean, it's like the biggest hook shank you've ever seen. Okay, so there's that. It says the Mustad triple grip 7-aughts. They're kind of heavy. They're beyond kind of, they're heavy. If you're not doing that, lead tape. So tennis racket tape, and I'm going to go across the bottom seam of that bait from nose to tail in an even fashion, right? From the nose hook hanger to the front hook hanger, and then from front hook hanger to the back, and from the back to the back, right? Very even level of lead tape. Glide baits, if you're going to reweight a glide bait, it has to be symmetrical. It has to be done perfectly where you're not augmenting the left to right or the belly roll of that bait.
You know, so it's sinking slowly horizontally?
Exactly.
That's
so,
the ideal.
Right. You don't want to change the left to right walk or the shimmy, if you will, yeah, right?
So if you get it nose down a little bit too much, it's gonna come in straighter as opposed to more, you know.
There's an electrical sound. The aliens are landing at Jay's house every 4 or 5 minutes. You know, what do you do? I mean, what do you do? Really? It sounds like digital racket in my ears, Jay.
I don't know what's going on.
Maybe it's just me. Jordan. Long time listener here. Question. This pretender for shallow water is a fired up period. Is that prevalent in river systems that don't experience turnover? Specifically when I go up to St. Lawrence River next week. What are my chances of getting any of this? So sorry I'm rambling. Do river systems turn over? No. Is the fall a hot time before things cool off? Absolutely. So if you're going to the St. Lawrence, the more northerly you are, the things are getting pressured, things are happening, right? So what would you say, Jay, like river system flow, just like pre-turnover? Obviously, turnover doesn't happen, but what's the staging of muskies at this point?
I think sometimes, especially with flowages and rivers around here, you get weed growth dying off earlier than you do in most of the lakes. So you kind of get that early fall migration kind of thing going on a little bit quicker. So that's a good thing to hop onto right now for us because we're a ways from any kind of turnover happening. You know, we've had fairly warm weather. It's in the 60s every day. So we've got a prolonged fall, which is ideal. And, you know, the weeds are great in a lot of the lakes around here yet. I mean, there's really hardly any weeds dying off, but the flowages and rivers, those things are greening up and going away quickly. So that's one thing to key in on that might is the shallow migration for stuff going in there when the weeds are dying and you know, targeting them that way.
Hand me the chips.
You want a chip?
Yeah, I want a chip.
Okay.
It's a chip breaker. Folks, get ready for a crunchy experience here. Me need a chip.
Stevie hungry.
Me? No, I'm not hungry. I'm crusty. Folks, don't ever eat potato chips on a radio show. More to sell. New listener, love the podcast. Fishing with live scope off a kayak. Targeting 16 to 20 feet with live scope and getting follows, pulling muskies from 14 feet to right under the yak, but can't trigger the smack. Struggling with the figure eight, juicing a kayak. If I pause baits on a retrieve, they lose interest. If I speed it up and pull away and run a little bit of line, the same. Any tips for triggering on the follow before I run a line using a spinner bait? Blade chatter baits. So, what do we do to get a bite before the figure eight? I'm about to eat a chip.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I mean, you're talking about kayak fishing, which has become really popular. There's a lot of people pulling in and driving around with some amazing rigs, those things lately. Last few years, it's difficult. I got to imagine, in most of those, you can't stand up. How are you going to figure eight number one? You know, I mean, you can bring it, you can turn the bait.
You're not going to.
A little bit, but it's like, yeah. It's not going to be as effective as you are stature-wise fishing out of a boat. So he's running some tips. You know, he's pausing the bait a lot, which is great.
But what do you do on mid-cast trigger straight retrieves?
Depth change. And,
I mean, the thing,
surges.
Like,
I mean,
you can do a bucktail on it for even speed.
Yeah. Yeah, especially he might be dealing with super clear water too, where he's fishing, and not getting long enough casts and trying to trigger him out the ways more. So
I'm sorry for his chip sound.
It's hard to assess that, but yeah, I mean, try all those things and varying your depth and either speed bursts or lots of pauses depending on the bait style.
Create some kind of directional change on your cast, right? Before we get in the figure eight. So you're in a kayak. It's easy to turn. So straight, 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 straight. And then pull that bait to the right. Pull that bait to the left as hard as you can. Create directional changes. Mid-cast triggers as best you can. With, like Jay said, you could slow a spinner bait down, let it fall, and then rip it up to trigger a strike or the burst, but make something happen. That's a neat thing with a kayak is you can actually turn your kayak left or right a little bit with each cast, right? So you can create a little bit of a curve to each cast if you're willing to do so.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Give it a shot. Hopefully that dials you in a little bit.
I will never eat chips again on the podcast, folks, but I also will not drink 14 Pepsis before we start.
Okay.
Don't judge me. I will kick your ass right here.
There you go.
Folks, gonna fight him live on the podcast.
Neighbor Steve Fest 24.
Folks, come to Neighbor Steve Fest for the Jay and Steve, the cage match. Maybe I'll just eat chips. You never know. One more, because I got to get up in the morning. You know? What do you do, Jay? Yeah. What do you do?
I do too.
Anyway, Mike says he is struggling with fish that are making it boat side, all like the guy we're just talking about, this fall, but he has a sucker down there not eating the sucker. So he's throwing rubber, he's throwing tubes, he's throwing glide baits, but he's getting fish falling in, big baits, and he's fishing big suckers. Jay, we talked about this a while ago. We're fishing big baits and big suckers. What does old Steve say before he eats chip? Hot chip and lime, mother.
We're talking, you're throwing big rubber.
And then big sucker.
Have a small sucker out.
What?
Have a small sucker out.
Why would you ever do that?
Because Well, they're already ignoring the large presentation, but it's bringing them in. They're interested. If there's a small live sucker there, I mean, not small, I mean, relative sense, maybe a 10-incher. A lot of people are starting out with the biggest suckers they can find early in the season, and sometimes that's not going to be put you in the successful level as easily as you would if you're running, you know, 10, 11 inchers, which are we consider a little bit on the small side.
Well, I'm sorry for the chip crunch, okay? I haven't eaten in like 14 hours, and you know what? If you want to, the podcast is free, all right? So I'm going to crunch chips, and they're delicious. They're kettle cooked.
Yeah.
And I want to eat some more when I'm done.
They're good for you, too.
They're good for you. Salt, sea salt.
Come on now.
Right there. Raise the blood pressure.
Boom.
Getting crunk. Getting lit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, here's my thought. Sucker fishing in the early fall, early winter. If they follow a big bait, say a bulldog or a medusa, and they don't eat it, and they don't eat your big sucker, but you get a rip or you see them looking at it, your sucker is too big. Don't follow up with a big bait for big bait. It doesn't make sense, right? Throw a big bait, entice them in, and present them with a smaller sucker. Classically, musky fishing is done with 10, 12-inch suckers. It doesn't work that often. If 12-inch suckers caught 50-inch muskies every time they were deployed, there'd be no more 50-inch muskies, right?
Yeah.
Downsize the sucker. Bring them in big. Get them to eat small. The sucker's essentially your cast-back lure, in my mind.
Good point. Yeah, that's true.
Unless they look at it coming off the bottom, right? With panoptics, 90% of the fish that see my sucker, I brought in on a cast. 10%, they come off the bottom and look at it, right? So if 10% come off the bottom and look at it, so of the 10% that come off the bottom and look at it, let's say 10% of those are big enough to eat a 12-inch sucker. I'm narrowing my scope. But let's say I have a 6-inch, 8-inch sucker, and 90% I bring in, 50% are big enough to eat that sucker. Statistically speaking, I've done a better job. I've covered more ground, right? Downsize your suckers. They're cheaper and they're more effective. Not a popular statement. Everybody wants 14 inches of meat, Jay. Yeah. And that's wrong with what's wrong with internet dating. What?
Internet suckers. Yeah, Don't buy into the hype.
Log on. Jay has a new website, internetsuckers.com.
Yep. Well, remember what happened to Family Suckers. I mean, we discussed that, I think, just last week. You
know, they burned the place down.
Yeah.
They
burned it down.
Somebody said that guy was doing things stuff.
They were abducted by aliens is the rumor. I mean, I don't buy it, but, you know, that was the rumor.
You know what?
You get that close to Hayward. I mean, come on.
You get down Highway 70 enough.
Oh, yeah. Tickets Highway 70 west.
You know, that's basically the Area 51 of Wisconsin.
There's a couple. If you bring up, and you guys can do this at home, if you bring up Google Maps, you find Minocqua, go north of Wausau, about 60 miles. There's Minocqua. Oh, look at all the lakes. How pretty. Go straight west, right? And before you get to Hayward. Notice that nothing's on there. There's all these triangles. That's what I'm talking about.
It's where the government is testing.
Government did it.
They're testing suckers on space muskie.
They've got a couple lakes in there that are so top secret that even the government doesn't want you to know about them.
Yeah, go down
Nobody can get on them either. Public launch, no private launch.
You can get on there if you're man enough.
They got a minefield around there.
The Smitty's fishing too.
Yeah. They're testing alien space technology and alien lures.
Right.
Yeah, they've got, you know, zero gravity. What do they call that? Not zero gravity.
I don't know.
The propulsion system for the boats.
Is this how Alex Jones got sued?
I don't know.
Anyway, folks, we're going to wrap it up because at this point we've had a lot of Pepsi and a lot of Euros, and it's not often we do the podcast in person. So we got to go to the basement and tend the slaves. Okay. Say goodnight, Jay.
Good night. Thanks.
Later.
Bye-bye now.
Well, we have something to go.
Shit, shit, I can't get a hit. I hate musky fishing, I am sick of it. Come on, open your mouth, come on. Shit, shit, I can't get a hit. I hate musky fishing, I am sick of it. Come on, open your mouth, come on. Titan dive and rise, they're throwing in all night and day.